It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm BJ Austin. We're going to explore some of 2016's most popular stories on our website, kerenews.org. Molly Evans is KERA's assistant producer for digital news, and she joined managing editor Eric Austin for an online tour of the year.
Hey, Molly, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
So, of course, some of the most read stories this year were based on big news events.
Definitely. In January, a new law generated a lot of heat in Texas, the open carry of handguns. So instead of concealing a gun, now you can carry it in a hip or shoulder holster.
And we had people from both sides of the debate on KERA earlier this year to talk about the issue. Here's CJ Grisham, a gun rights advocate.
The fact is that bad people do bad things, and you can't affect the rights of the law-abiding to try and prevent the criminality. So what you have to do is you have to make it easier for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves.
And here's Andrea Brower with a group called Texas Gun Sense.
2,800 gun deaths in Texas is a problem. 500 children being shot and either killed or injured by a firearm every year is a problem. And we need to address it.
And another big story this year that also got a lot of people reading and talking online was a profile of a woman named Mary Lou Bruner. She was the Texas Education Board candidate, and she called President Obama a gay prostitute.
Yeah, the retired teacher from Mineola has made national headlines with her Facebook posts. She's also declared Islam a cult religion and labeled climate change a Marxist hoax.
And KERA reporter Christopher Connolly traveled to East Texas to meet Bruner and profile her, and she did not back down from her comments.
Those Facebook postings are just one little dot in my whole lifetime. I have a First Amendment right to say what I want to say.
By the way, Bruner did not win the Republican primary runoff for the state board seat.
And another story that resonated online was about a North Texas church that revoked the membership of a man who's gay.
On Facebook, Jason Thomas posted a letter from Watermark, which is an evangelical church in Dallas, saying he was no longer a member.
And Jason Thomas talked with KERA's Courtney Collins.
My faith shattered, and it's coming back together, and that's really awesome. But I definitely hope to be a member of a church someday again.
And several stories did well online this year that were not based on breaking news or buzzy items.
We had a story on 50 tiny homes built in Dallas to house the homeless.
Yeah, they're called the Cottages at Hickory Crossing.
And they're located just west of Fair Park. And the goal is to cut down on long-term costs related to homelessness, from jail to emergency room visits to mental health services.
And then there was a story you did about hate groups in Texas.
This generated a lot of heated comments on KERA's Facebook page. There are 84 active hate groups in Texas, and that's the most of any state. That's according to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
So what were the most popular stories this year on kerenews.org?
Okay, drumroll please. So number four on our list is about plans for a 64-mile bike superhighway, a series of trails that will connect Dallas and Fort Worth. At number three was the open carry post that we talked about earlier. At number two, something you created, Eric, a post about whatever happened to Marina Oswald.
Yeah, Oswald, who lives in North Texas, rarely ventures out in public these days, so this post brings folks up to speed on her whereabouts. It features videos of her rare interviews through the years. And what about number one?
One more drum roll, please. It's our Texas bucket list. 39 things you should do in Texas before you die. So we created this post to celebrate Texas Independence Day. People check it out every day now. It lists quintessential Texas sites, cities, and food that you don't want to miss in Texas.
Yeah, lots of food.
I'm sure it's made plenty of expats pretty homesick, too.
Molly Evans, thanks so much.
Thanks, Eric.
Biennial exhibition showcases big ideas in art. The most well-known places for the biennials are Venice, New York. But Dallas also has a biennial, and it happens to be this weekend. Each week in the Art and Seek Artists Spotlight, we examine the work of North Texas creatives. Today, Hadi Mawagdi explores how a pair of artists created a recurring event that challenges the very ideas of a biennial.
Michael Mazurek and Jesse Morgan Barnett hatched the plan for the first Dallas biennial back in 2011. They were both finishing their MFA at UT Arlington.
Jesse came up with the idea of the biennial. I thought it was ridiculous. I told him. I was like, are you kidding me? How on earth could we do that?
Barnett says that Mazurek skepticism was totally valid.
The name itself maybe was a little misleading because it's so grandiose. But it gave us kind of a period of time that we could have an extended amount of activity forthcoming. We didn't necessarily have to figure it out. Each year it could be a new iteration, kind of depending on whatever our energy was and focus.
As they thought it through, they realized something pretty simple, says Mazurek.
The platform of the biennial for us is a way to investigate art making.
That freed the pair to challenge the traditional ideas of a biennial, including the most basic one, that it should be held every 2 years.
We're not really beholden to this structure which has to be repeated. It's gonna constantly be evolving and we're open to that.
And they showed off their open-mindedness from the jump with their first project, DB12.
So our first one was 2 years long on the internet, which most people don't know. So it literally lasted for 2 full years, and we just continued to change up what was happening online.
That first biennial, DB12, challenged what an international exhibition might look like without the constraints of location and time. And interestingly, they came up with unique ways for the work that they were showing online to be seen offline, like having one of the phases published in a magazine that was distributed at the 2014 Venice Biennale. But Barnett says a lot of the decisions that were made about the first biennial were really just them reacting to their environment.
Its form early on was, we could conceptualize about what we hoped it would be, but a lot of it was just responding to certain invitations or just opportunities that we had.
The biennials became an extension of their individual art practices. When it was time for DB14, the pair went in a completely different direction.
So the last biennial, we had 55 artists, 4 months, 11 venues.
DB14 also allowed Barnett and Mazurek an opportunity to display their talent for turning non-traditional spaces into captivating venues. One show was set up in an office inside a nondescript building. It should be no surprise that there's a whole new approach to DB16. Instead of challenging the format of biennials, the pair wants to challenge the audience.
I think by far this has been the most complicated.
The curators declined to give a preview or describe what's in store for Saturday night's exhibition, but they invited two provocative and controversial artists to show work at the Box Company, a giant former manufacturing facility turned gallery. Teresa Margoles, age 53, examines death in her work. Lately, she's focused on the impact of drug violence in her native Mexico. She has incorporated human remains and graphic images into her installations and performances. An Austrian performance artist, Erman Nietzsche, age 78, explores religion and other themes in violent, often bloody ceremonies referred to as actions.
Both artists are working around this idea of a real experience and how that relates to manifesting itself into a work of art. But it's about being an artist, living in this world, and making work.
UT Arlington professor Stephen Laptee-Safone has been a mentor to Mazurek and Barnett since they were students, and he applauds the duo's curatorial decisions. He says they're bold because they're bringing in artists who really have something to say.
They chose both of these artists for the spirit of what's going on in the work. And while it may not be directly saying things about legislation or immediate things, I think it's a good moment of resistance to the spirit of compliance or acquiescence.
Laptee-Safone says the work will show audiences that art can offer another way of seeing things in the world. And Mazurek and Barnett believe that this year's biennial will advance their goals as artists and curators, hoping to advocate for big ideas. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Visit artandseek.org to learn more about the Dallas Biennial and to check out the rest of our Artist Spotlight series. And finally, a correction. Last night, our look back at the year in North Texas sports said the Rangers, Stars, and FC Dallas all lost in the first round of their playoffs. Actually, the Stars made it to the second round of the National Hockey League playoffs before bowing out. Overnight low across Texas, North Texas around 35, tomorrow sunshine, 58, warmer on Saturday, high of 68. Right now, 54 in Dallas, 52 in Fort Worth and Tyler, and 50 in Denton. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.